Blog Talk Radio.
What's popping, my G's? PSA Hip Hop in the building. Watching, what's good, man? You. Yeah, man. You. You.
Yo.
Yo, you out there?
Yo.
You out there? Yeah. Rocking voice, man.
Yeah, I'm here, man.
What's popping, my G?
What's popping?
A lot of things is popping, man. If y'all have not listened to our Tupac back and forth, please go listen to the jewels that we dropped, especially that I dropped, gotta say. You know what I mean? Shout out Detroit DME, man. I see you, my G. I see you out there, man. Dog, I just looked on Twitter right now, right? And Kanye West, I don't even know what's his affiliation with Nas, but he tweeted out an hour ago that Nas' album is dropping June 15th. Why would Kanye be the one to drop those news on us? Shouldn't Nas there be the one to drop those news on us?
Well, I didn't know that because I'm looking at his tweets and I only see that he said Push is coming out, Cudi's coming out, and Teyana Taylor's coming out. So I don't see that he's
talking. It's right there. What are you talking about? Now it's June 15th.
No, I'm just telling
it's
you.
On his page.
So I'm on this page, and it says now it's June 15th, and he's getting
exactly.
He got a lot of retweets of it. This is the first time I'm hearing of it.
Okay, and the point is, first of all, shout out to Nas for dropping the album June. Are you happy to hear from? Are you happy to get a Nas album in June?
No.
Excuse me?
No, I'm not.
You're not happy to get a Nas album in June? No.
No.
What? Wow. Any reason why? Can I know why?
I wasn't thinking about Nas at all. I'm more excited about Pusha T's album. I think Pusha T's still exploring himself as a solo MC. I was not looking forward to Nas.
So, all right, you weren't looking forward to hear Nas? Is that what you're saying? You're not looking forward?
No, I was not looking forward to it.
So are you looking forward to it now before the announcement? The Kanye announcement?
I still don't have any excitement or enthusiasm.
Okay. Do you feel there's pressure on Nas to come through with the dope album?
There's no pressure on him.
Why is there no pressure on him?
Why would there be pressure? What is he trying to prove? He doesn't have to prove anything.
It's not about proving anything. Why is it? I think it's about proving all the time when you're dropping albums. Is it not? You're trying to prove that this is your job. You know, you go to the studio to make music, not for yourself, is it? You make to hear your music. You have a big fan base since the early 90s, and you're still here making music. So you don't think, I mean, listen, Cole dropped his album. Kanye dropped an album. Pusha T dropped an album. Who else is dropping? Drake is dropping an album. Are you liking the people that's with these releases? Because I like Cole's album, but, you know, am I crazy about it? No.
Out of all the albums, the only one that I'm excited to hear is Pusha T.
Push Your Tongue.
That's the one that I'm excited to hear. Neighborhood P. Don't get it messed up. Neighborhood P. That's what I'm excited to hear. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Why don't you get Benny on the track, man? I would love to hear Pusha and Benny on the track. That'd be dope. You ain't trying to hear Pusha and Benny on a track together, that'd be fire.
Well, I'm somebody who likes to hear the artist. I don't buy artist albums or listen to artist albums to hear collaborations. That's not why I'm into artists.
Dog, there's nothing wrong with having a collaboration on your album if you have 16 or 17 joints, my dude.
I'm
you
want
to hear 16 songs dolo?
I'm not looking for artists that I like, I don't want to listen to them to hear who they collaborate with. I'm a fan
of Pusha. With a guy like Pusha, as nice as Pusha is, talk is limited on what he talks about. He talks more drug talk, if anything, you know, powder and all that stuff. So I would think that after a while, you can't have 12 songs of that. Huh?
Yes, you can. On his album, they said, Pusha, I hope you don't keep talking about drugs. He said, that's all I'm going to talk about.
Yeah, he said that with that, of course. I have no problem with that, but I want him to have a collaboration with certain people.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I'm sure he'll have some collaborations. He's never come out with an album that did not have collaborations. His first album, he had collaborations with Kendrick. He had collaborations with Young Jeezy. He had collaborations with Ab Lava from Philly, Puerto Rico.
No, Ab Lava. Ab Lava, please. No Ab Lava, please. Hey, Pusha. No Ab Lava, please. No thanks.
The point is, he will have collaborations, so I'm not even concerned about that because he always has collaborations.
I'm looking forward to Pusha's album, I guess. I want to hear what Nas got to say in 2018. I'm looking forward to that. Is Nas going to drop in? Well, we're in April now. If he's dropping, we're in late April, and June's around the corner. No single yet, Nas? Or does it matter if he drops a single?
Well, did it matter if Cole dropped a single? Did it matter if Cole dropped a single?
It's a little different,
Did it
though.
Matter if Cole dropped a single?
It's a little different, though.
Did it matter?
The cloth is different. Well, the cloth is different. You know, Hov doesn't really have to drop a single. You just think with Nas, he has to because Hov's been more active than Nas. You know what I'm saying? So I know Nas sitting back and watching. I think Nas really got inspired by 444 and felt that, you know what, I think I need to drop. You know, the OG dropped a fire album. I think I got to lace my sneaks up. And get in a lab. You know what I mean? That's what I think. If you ask Nas, I'm pretty sure he'll tell you that.
All right.
You know what I mean?
Well, he's going to be doing interviews.
Pressure.
When he's going to do interviews, so it's going to be interesting to see if anyone asks that question.
Well, I'm pretty sure they won't ask him that question. Well, I'm pretty sure they'll ask him how he felt about Jay's album. As a grown man, I'm pretty sure Nas can appreciate that kind of album. I wonder if Nas is going to do like a 444 spinoff. What do you think?
He doesn't have to do that because he's been doing that music for 22 years. He's been doing grown, mature hip-hop for 22 years. So he doesn't have
to do that. Well, his last album when he had the dress in his hand. What do you think about Nas' last album, though?
It was okay. It wasn't my favorite.
It wasn't better than 444.
Okay. But like I said, he's been doing mature hip-hop for a while now. Remember he did the thing with his daughter? I remember he used to do collaborations with his father. He did a collaboration song with his father when he talked about
all
his
Ola Duran, man, we know.
Where his musical inspiration came from. So Nas has always been doing mature hip-hop for adults, for people my age group. He's been doing it, so he doesn't have to do it for something that he's been doing. That's always been a part of his resume.
Well, another part of his resume, since you said the word resume, is the production. I think Nas, God, Nas, I wish you let me pick the beats for you, Nas. I wish I was able to pick the beats for Nas. He's about to rap off, you know what I'm saying? Any concerns with the production from Nas, because some people say as great as Nas is, sometimes that could be his Achilles heel.
Who says that?
People in barbershops have had this conversation about Nas beats, my nigga. You know that. What are you talking about?
I've never heard that in barbershops.
You've never heard no one's critique Nas beats?
No, I haven't.
Wow, I have. And I've been one of the guys who've done that. So I'm surprised you act like you've never heard that before.
No, because one of the people I hear critique Nas beats is a white Russian guy called DJ Vlad. And when he brings
Vlad's not the only one that's done that. So.
And when he brings people on, and like when he brought Salam Remy on to talk about it, Salam Remy educated him and schooled him and exposed how ignorant that mindset is. So that's guys, you know, like DJ Vlad, who knows nothing about hip-hop, who brings up stuff that's insane.
Well, I know hip-hop, and I feel Nas has to bring good beats. And do you think people care about Nas dropping an album?
Yeah, I do. I do think people care. I do think people care.
A lost contention, or is it like Nas out of sight, out of mind? Or
I think people care. I think the powers that be who control hip-hop media will really give this album a lot of play and a lot of push because of the iconic, legendary status of who Nas is.
And are you hyped for Kanye album?
No.
Isn't that your guy? Isn't that the guy you tell me that's dropped classics after he has, like, what, 4 year, like, how many classics you said he has? His
four
first four
half.
Albums. Have you not deemed them as classics?
Yes, I do. I deem his first four as classics. Damn near five in a row. Damn near five and a half. Because Watch Your Throne, I consider that a classic.
That's a classic album? Watch Your Throne?
Yeah, I consider that a classic album.
A classic?
Yeah. When you get two MCs of that, two figures in hip hop of that caliber, they did not disappoint. No one bought that album, Watch Your Throne, and was like,
that was a Kanye West album featuring Jay-Z, my nigga. That's what the album was.
Okay, if that's the case, then Kanye, that's another victory for Kanye. That's
no,
victory.
I don't know if it was
Kanye,
a victory.
Kanye had a run from his run from production on The Truth in 2000 to Watch Your Throne to 2011. To me, that entire body of work is shaped the sound of hip-hop as we know it.
Kanye's been tweeting a lot lately, right?
Yes.
Is it the pressure, you think, him being in the studio, Mr. Watson, that he's, now, I don't know, you hate when I use the word pressure, but just feeling, you know, sometimes you're in the studio trying to make music and you start letting up ideas in your head and you grab your phone and you just let off. He's hitting send a lot. And I've seen a lot of people going, I'm seeing it now, a lot of, in his mentions, wow, I think you need a bulletproof vest from the shit I'm seeing. What is going on with Kanye West that from your lenses that you're seeing what's going on with him and the people right now?
I think Kanye West is in a place called the sunken place. And that phrase is part of our vernacular now because there was a movie called Get Up. And it basically the sunken place is where black people go when they lose themselves, when they forget who they are, when they lose themselves and they no longer can, they no longer claim their blackness or they want to reject their blackness. They want to look at themselves as just human beings. And Kanye West, to me, is in a sunken place. And that's me in a nice way saying he's basically in a place of he's a sellout. This is a man who was selling Confederate flags at his concerts. This is a man who was supporting Donald Trump, talking about build the wall, build the wall. This is a man who highlighted a black conservative woman who attacked Black Lives Matter and said it's all about grievances. If you read his tweet, he says stuff that self-victimization is a disease. That is what white racists say to black people anytime we complain about stuff. If black people talk about reparations, if black people talk about affirmative action, if black people talk about they need equal rights, to white racists, they call that self-victimization. Kanye West, in all of these tweets, he's echoing what we like to hear. They love to get a black person to talk negative about black people, and then they elevate that black person who's against black people. That is what Kanye West is doing right now.
Wow. That's a mouthful, my G. Pause.
All you have to do is read his tweets. Why are you highlighting white people? Why? You're on your timeline and you're highlighting white people like David Hammond. You want us to go and see
wow.
who this white man is? Like, what are you doing? And then the people you're giving props to are people that attack black people on a regular basis. To be a Democrat, you're on a slave plantation. So Kanye West says that he's a free thinker. So then Ebro gets on the phone with him after I've been tweeting Ebro all day, barking on him. Ebro says, I just got off the phone with Kanye. Kanye just wants to have dialogue with people who are free thinkers. That's bullshit.
Why do you feel it's bullshit, though?
Dialogue with the KKK. I don't need to have dialogue with people who object to my existence, who think I'm about grieving. Come on, Kanye West is playing himself. So the Kanye West of today is somebody I don't rock with at all. Is he a musical genius? Yes. Is he a creative genius? Yes. But he's lost his identity.
Is he out of touch?
Lost.
Is he out of touch?
Completely out of touch. Completely out of touch. Out of touch is a kind word. So you can be out of touch, but still love your blackness, but you've just been rich for so long, you don't understand what struggle is. You know, like, for example, I would say Will Smith is out of touch, you know, but he doesn't come off as someone who's just anti...
Why do you say Will Smith is out of touch, though? Why do you say that?
Just when, because out of touch is this simple. When you've been as rich as Will Smith has been rich for over 20 years.
Facts.
You don't have the real life that everyday face. Bill, you know, it's just different. It's just a different form.
You mean the struggle? You're saying the struggle. You're saying you're comparing the struggle to fame. Is that what you're doing?
No, because you can be famous and still not have money. Will Smith, when I say Will Smith is out of touch, it's just you don't live in a real world. The real world, here's the real world. You have to get up every day and go to work. Will Smith never has to work a day in his life if he doesn't want to. His kids never have to work because he has generational wealth. Kanye is also that rich, where they can just anything they want, when they want. It's just not realistic. Me and you can't say, yo, let's go to Paris right now. Let's do this. Let's buy this Bugatti. We can't live that Floyd Mayweather life, which is why Floyd Mayweather can be a Donald Trump supporter and nobody cares. Because he's so rich, he's so out of touch with the realities of the world that he says the stupidest things you can imagine, because his wealth protects him from reality. When you're filthy rich like these guys, you can create your own reality. And that's what,
of course,
but
yeah.
Kanye West is worse, because Kanye West he has a platform that he reaches a lot of people, and the stuff he's saying is insulting.
Do you think Kanye was trying to get, I can't even say this, because as black people, as a black man, I'm not going to feel that he was trying to unite people because of his tweets, and I'm reading these shits. They're not no unification at all. You're basically supporting, should I use the word, the enemy? Let's keep it real, Watson. Is it the enemy, or are you supporting people that just don't rock with black people, African-American people, people of color? Like, you don't rock with them, and you're supporting people that don't support us.
And
you know
that's
what
he's doing. I mean, and one of his tweets, he says, constantly bringing up the past keeps you stuck there. Well, who are you talking about? You talking about white people? Because that's not white people who talk about Jim Crow, slavery, you know, 100 years of Reconstruction, the history, the racist history of this country. That's not white people who say that. And he knows people. And he's actually insulting us, because he says stuff like, the blinders are off. What do you mean the blinders are off? Question.
Those cryptic tweets, though. That's the thing, though. You read those tweets, and you're like, what does he mean, though? So they're very cryptic, in a sense.
So
you got to read between the lines, but what lines are there to read? You know what I mean?
Here's where it's not cryptic. He said, I love the way Candace Owens thinks. This is the tweet that solidified that
where people went outraged.
Way past the sunken place. So everybody was like, okay, who's Candace Owens? When you go to see who Candace Owens is, and Kanye West says, I love the way she thinks, this woman is anti-black. She's anti-black.
Explain
she
to
says,
the folks
oh,
who don't know who Candace Owens is.
Nobody knows until he said it. She's a white conservative Republican black woman who attacks black people and says all we do is claim we're victims. This is what she said. We're on a plantation. Our mentality, because we vote for Democrats over Republicans, we as black people are on a slave plantation. This is what she says. When that group Black Lives Matter came out, which basically was saying, yo, we got all these black people getting killed by police, and then the police get away with murder. So then Black Lives Matter came up. She attacked Black Lives Matter saying they're about victimization. How does the victimization of cops kill you and get away with it? You know what I'm saying? Like, they kill black people and then they get away with it.
So, no, you're right.
Yes, I love the way Candace Owens thinks. Only free
That's crazy,
thinkers.
Kanye. Come on, man. That's
outrageous. Torre, one of Kanye West's biggest supporters ever. Torre, who covers Pac, who parents who used to work for the Rolling Stones. Even he tweeted, How long is Kanye West going to be able to support people who are anti-black, and then black people are going to say, we can't rock with you no more? He asked this. Like, this is serious. Ebro was like, yo, what is going on here? I kept tweeting Ebro. Ebro says, oh, I got the phone with Kanye. Kanye says he wants to have dialogue. So let me tell you, let me bring this around. Charlamagne the God did the same thing with this white conservative woman named Tommy Loren. You remember that white girl?
I remember that shit.
Here's the thing. This woman was talking about Candace Owens. Is the black
You remember
person.
That, Leonard?
This woman that we said Candace Owens, she's the white version of Tommy Loren. When you go Google her or YouTube her, you see her on panel with Tommy Loren talking the same anti-black stuff. Kanye West is saying, only freak that I love the way Candace Owens thinks.
Yeah, that's...
After you got on stage and said, I support Trump, build the wall, build the wall, build the wall. So this is who Kanye West is in 2018. He's not Kanye West who produced The Truth. He's not Kanye West who rapped.
Well,
Trump
He's far removed from that. Now, do we expect him to stay in that mode? No, so to speak, because you elevate and your mind graduates every day. But when he starts making comments against black folks, his own color, and riding with people that's anti-black, that's real wild, Kanye. I know you got a big fan base from all different kinds of shapes of colors, people, countries, this, that, and the third that rock with you, my dude. But and I know your wife is of a different pigmentation, but.
His wife is not of a different pigmentation. His wife is white. Okay? She's white. Kanye West is married to a white woman. He's in a white family. This is what he's around. So I don't know about you, but when you're not around black women and you're just around a white family, their white environment is what he's in. So, you know, to me he's lost, man. I don't rock with him at all. And I told you, he musically, he's a creative genius. The man knows what he's doing in terms of production, hip-hop. For example, you were talking about Nas' album. If Nas is in the studio with Kanye, they come out with some classic material. But it does not change the fact that Kanye West is not the same person who says George Bush hates black people during Hurricane Katrina. That Kanye does not exist no more. How do you go from saying that? How do you go from saying that about George Bush to supporting Donald Trump? How they're clearly two different people in two different paths of life. And hip hop media will fail us. Leonard has taken videos and pictures. Yo, I heard the new Kanye West album. So you see pictures with him and Leonard and Kanye West together. He's listening to the album. So you know what that means? That means
So you're saying he's not going to be objective?
Nope.
With the music?
He's not going to go hard body on him. He's going to give him the benefit of the doubt because Charlamagne...
Well, Charlamagne damn sure asked for Cardi B hard body. You think he's on the goddamn payroll the way he salutes Cardi B. So anybody Charlamagne likes, he's going to, you know... That's why I'm glad we have no real industry homies. We rock with a few people, but we can keep it real with them. But you know what I'm saying? Before I wrap it up here, I want to get your take on the new Joe Budden series called The Pull Up, Sir. Obviously, Joe Budden has a entourage of people, not in his podcast setting. It's more of in his crib. Yo, Joe Budden, you got a nice crib, my dude. Salute you. That shit is hard, my nigga. I ain't gonna hold you. Neither here nor there, but he had Wayno. I believe that's Dave East's manager, and he was on the Everyday Struggle. Leonard, a.k.a. Charlamagne the God, was there. Official Ice was in the building. Shout out to my guy Ice. Casanova was in the building. Is Joe Budden doing a great thing for hip-hop, though? And I'm just talking about him doing a podcast and then doing this now. Is that a good thing for hip-hop? I think it is.
I enjoyed the concept of pull-up. I enjoyed the concept. Depending on the people he has talking, I like the setting. I like the way they talk. Because me and you consider ourselves hip hop historians, sometimes it's difficult for us to hear younger people of the younger generation talk about hip hop. Talk about New York rappers don't rap about nothing. That was really, really difficult.
Oh, God. Are you getting that way, you know? Well, you could tell he's not a young dude, though, my dude. He knows, I could tell by the certain songs he was talking about in the 90s. You know, he came from that era of the golden era. You know what I'm saying? I don't think he's a new jack.
I'll just say this. He came off as someone to me that's not knowledgeable about hip hop. That's how I look.
Why do you say that? Because.
You can be in the hip hop industry. Like Crooked, I said, I had to educate everybody who worked in the source. So you can work in the hip hop industry and not be knowledgeable about it. I work in a hospital. I'm not a doctor. I don't know how to do shit.
Right.
You know? So the thing about the pull up is, I really like the concept. I like the conversation, the freewheeling conversation, the way you could talk. I like how the people came serving food. But, you know, there's a lot of similarities to Drink Champ. A lot, a lot. You cannot.
You think so?
You can't think so, but know so. It's
but
clearly.
Nori's telling stories. Nori's more talking about old school stories, though.
Well, my.
And that's about modern day hip hop on Drink Champ.
My thing about it is that it reminded me of Drink Champs. The setting of around a table. Instead of drinks, you got food. You're able to free flow and talk whatever you want to talk. So that's like Drink Champ does that. But
I feel more like a vibe like your man come out of the crib, y'all watch a game, and your homies come over. You know, the game is on. Yeah, just talking hip hop. Shit that we've been doing for years.
I like the concept. But like I said, it reminded me of Drink Champ because Drink Champ is that same element. It's freewheeling. There's no constrictions. You can talk about whatever you want on Drink Champs. It's unfiltered, just like this is unfiltered. But the thing is, I enjoy this. So I'm going to be honest. I could see me watching this. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing part two. You know what I'm saying? Because I want to see where this goes.
Me too.
So I like this. I like this.
I just have a question, though. Why is Joe Budden co-signing Tekashi the way he is, though? Come on, Joe. What's really good, my nigga? Like, you really sit up there like you bump into Kashi in the crib, my nigga? Come on, man. Knock it off, Joe. Come on.
So if
shout out to Casanova also.
If Joe Budden defend Tekashi, you would have had an entire – well, you didn't because Wayno was defending him too. Wayno was defending him too. It wasn't just Joe Budden. Wayno was defending him, wasn't he?
I think I look at it differently. I look at Joe was defending him more than Wayno. Because I've seen
Wayno
be critical of him.
Wayno was defending him also. But let's just say they didn't, right, and Joe Budden didn't. So you would have had a table of a bunch of former MCs, current MCs, and they just would have been hating on Tekashi. Do you know how ridiculous that would have looked?
No, I don't think Charlamagne was sitting there hating on him, the shit Charlamagne was saying.
The stuff Charlamagne.
You thought Charlamagne was hating?
Charlamagne is delusional. Everybody at the table told him. Everybody at the table told him he lost that interview. He got 3-0.
That don't mean he's delusional, though.
Everybody told him that. And he can't accept it. Casanova told it to him in his face. Everybody told him that. You know, on the Brilliant Idiot, his white co-host told him that. Charlamagne is in denial. Basically, he's at the point now where he's just hoping that Tekashi fails so he can say, I told you so. That's the point he's at. Joe Budden made a very great point. He said, yo, when he said this is going to be the most watched interview y'all ever had, I didn't believe him. And it happened. And you know what I'm saying? And it's blowing, you know, he told him that. Casanova said it too. Like, what are you going to say? Leonard? So here's the thing. I don't think you should single out Joe Budden because there was enough hate against Tekashi at that table where you should have felt good.
I don't know. That was hate. I don't think it was hate. Casting hate.
Do you co-sign?
You thought Casanova was? You thought Casanova was hating?
Do you co-sign Casanova saying, "Yo, if you want to shoot somebody, just don't shoot at him. Shoot at everybody. I walk. I still spray everybody." Did you co-sign that?
I don't co-sign that kind of thinking, my dude.
That was
I don't co-sign that kind of thinking.
That That was the insight he was bringing.
I think he was saying that that's how people, like, if you're real tough, that's what gangsters do. Like, I don't think he was saying, you know what I mean?
If you're real tough, that's what gangsters do. Okay. So,
well, I think he's trying to say in a sense that Tekashi 6ix9ine walks around here like he can't get touched. And, you know, someone you can't get touched.
And Joe Budden made a great point. Joe Budden said 50 was talking just as reckless. And as 50 kept elevating.
I have a problem with that. Let's not compare 50 Cent to Tekashi 6ix9ine gangster. We're not doing that.
What Joe Budden said, I agree with. Joe Budden was accurate. He says as 50 got more elevated, meaning he got more power, more successful, he was able to put himself in situations where he'd be more protected. And that's what he did until nobody could get him. 50 was beefing with gangsters who wanted to kill him. He talked reckless about everybody. He never not.
Yeah, but he had a great backing also. He had a bunch of goons with him, okay?
And then he sent half of them goons away. He said, and started beefing with two fools.
Yeah, that's after he got his mind right and didn't want to lose the money and kept his eye on the money and felt like, yo, I can't, if I hang around these niggas, they can fuck the money up.
You're right, but he was still he was beefing with them. He was beefing with the own people who was his security. The point Joe Budden was making was that Tekashi can talk this because as he gets bigger as an artist or successful, there are going to be more provisions made to keep him safe. That's all. That's all he was saying.
Well, I don't think Casanova was hating, though, in my opinion.
Okay.
Cass, you got to drop some music, my dude. For real, man. I rock with you, Cass. This nigga does not rock with you like that. He shows you no respect. I rocks with Cass.
Let me ask you a question. Something happened recently. Crooked Eye said he's no longer in Slaughterhouse. How did you feel about that?
I think we've seen this coming, though. Because on the old channel, did we not do a segment saying about Slaughterhouse album? Yeah, I think we were up on that early, not to toot our horn, beep, beep. But I think both of us, we're not surprised. Are you? We've spoken to Joe Budden on this show. We got Crooked Eye on this show. I don't think they don't even talk about Slaughterhouse. Joe Budden's in a different mindset right now. Royce the 5'9 is on his solo shit. Joel doesn't even, we don't even know where the hell Joel Ortiz is at. Crooked Eye and Joe Budden is the only one accessible. And Royce, when he wants to talk to niggas besides boxing and bigging up, acting like he listened to Nicki Minaj on Twitter, but that's neither here nor there. But so, we've seen this coming, though.
So, Crooked Eye said he's 2 years sober. And he said the one thing sober Crooked Eye likes to do is he likes to rap. Slaughterhouse ain't rapping. He said there's an album out called Glass House. He said it does exist. If they ever put it out, he'll retweet it. So there you have it.
Why wouldn't they put it out? Well, because they won't talk. Maybe because Joe's not rapping anymore. I don't know. And it's going to look crazy if they drop an album with Joe Budden. He's not able to tour. And most of the album is only three niggas in Slaughterhouse.
Wow. That's a good point. You couldn't promote it. I mean.
Okay.
And I think the longer you keep it, the more dated it gets.
Yeah, exactly. It's dated out.
These are guys who rap for the moment.
Certain punchlines don't sound right. Certain punchlines don't sound right anymore. You know
right. And Glasshouse was done in like 2013, right? Or 14. So
some shit like that, yeah.
It's clearly going to have references. I mean, they probably did the album when Obama was still president. So you can imagine they was rapping a whole different scenario of what life was about. So, to me,
you gotta think. You gotta think though. Crooked Eye is on Twitter all the time talking about music, right? And let's be real. Do we see Slaughterhouse really talk on Twitter like that? When was the last time you seen Joe and Royce tweet each other, or Royce? Not saying you have to tweet each other, but to the public, for the masses to see that as unification, we never seen that in a minute.
I am personally saddened. Slaughterhouse was to me one of the great gifts of hip hop to me. A bunch of my favorite MCs who really wasn't winning in the mainstream area got together, and they were giving me what I wanted to hear in hip-hop. Then once they got caught up in the mainstream politics of hip-hop, it even affected them because it affected their second album. You know what I'm saying? They didn't have the decision-making power. And, you know, But I still love to have four great MCs with each other. To know that that doesn't.
I think if you're MC man like Slaughterhouse and shit like that, signing with and even Griselda and shit, signing with Eminem in 2018 is not a go. I wouldn't do it.
Well, the only reason why I disagree is this. It doesn't stop people from putting out mixtapes. So they have albums.
Yeah, but there's no backing from he doesn't back niggas the way he backed D12. Eminem backed D12. He didn't back Stack Quo up or them other niggas you like, Cassius, or them other niggas. Did he really back them? All right, Obi Trice maybe he backed a little bit. But he damn sure backed up D12. You want to say Royce?
Yeah.
He backed up Royce, okay. Did an album together, fine.
Me personally, I mourn the demise of Slaughterhouse. I'm just going to tell you that. I'm mourning
the
demise.
We've seen this for years, but why can't the... But we mourned it. I mean, that should be years ago. Joe Budden is not rapping no more. And I've got on Joe about that. He don't want to rap no more. Mad people ask him, he don't want to rap no more. That nigga's in a different mindset, my nigga.
I understand. Slaughterhouse's last album came out in 2012. I remember
that's
it like
crazy.
Their first album came out in 2009. The second album came out in 2012. But the thing that I have to understand is they were always solo MCs. And
mm-hmm.
they all put out solo projects since 2012.
Yep.
Numerous solo projects apiece. So
I think Joe had like two or three.
I still get to listen to them, but to not hear them all together, I'm going so far as to say we may never hear a collection of MCs that great again in one group ever again. And that's when when I think about that, that's what saddens me. Because
does it shock you when Royce drops projects and he doesn't have Crooked on there or Joel?
It doesn't shock me at all. I think Royce da 5'9" is living out his hip hop dream. He's in the later stages of his life. He got a second act. The man is 40. He gets to do albums with Premier. He's dropped two albums with Premier, another solo album, dropped Bar Exam 4. So to me, Royce da 5'9" is achieving every goal and dream in hip hop he can think of. He's
right.
The one who's had the best post Slaughterhouse career as a rapper. It's Royce. So I think he's very happy where he is. It ain't like he just put out an album that I really enjoyed. You know? Prime 2. So
yeah.
He's fine. I don't know where Joel Ortiz is. I have no idea where Joel Ortiz is, what he's doing. Crook and I still putting out heat, still putting out albums. Still putting out freestyles. He is absolutely a hip hop fiend in my
That's
moment.
A fact.
You know, he loves hip hop. The way me and you love it, the way me and you could just talk
yep.
hip hop every day. Crook and I have to say,
we gotta get Crook on the show. You know what? We gotta get Crook on the show, man. Get Crook back on the show, man. Royce is a lost cause. I'm Royce the fucking man. Niggas rather go talk to Zane Lowe. I be getting mad though, man. I don't mean to toot on again, man. I gotta do it again. Beep beep. I be getting mad. First, I get mad that all these rap niggas be going, yeah, we just talk hip-hop up here, and we not well-known to the mass media people. But come on, man. Y'all go to Zane Lowe and them niggas and shit. Royce, come on, man. I'm not talking about Royce, but just other rappers, man. It is what it is, man. Take us home, my G.
PSA Hip-Hop, the home of the 2-2 Washington
Wizards.
Oh, God. I told you it would be 2-2. And now, 2-2. But PSA Hip Hop, let me be real with y'all. If OKC loses this first round series, 50% of my enthusiasm for the playoffs are going to be gone.
Why?
It's going to
I don't
be
understand
gone.
Why would that hurt you?
Because I want to see a matchup of Chris Paul and James Harden versus
me too.
Hoodie. Melo and Brody and Playoff P.
Why do y'all call him Playoff P?
Can
I know why do y'all call him Playoff P? I really understand it. This man has never been to. Has he? He's been to what, the Eastern Conference Finals once, I think.
Yeah, yes, he has.
Twice,
he's been to
exactly.
Eastern Conference.
He's been to an Eastern Conference Finals more times than Chris Paul. Yes.
Really? That's what you're doing, though?
No, I'm just stating a fact. That's not my.
Nah, you trying to take a shot at Chris Paul. You trying to take a shot at Chris Paul.
Is it a fact?
You trying to take a shot at Chris Paul, though. What's the fact?
That he's played in the Eastern Conference Finals and Chris Paul's never played in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, but Chris Paul's played in the Western Conference where the Savages are at, my dude. Besides the
and guess what?
That's
and
all.
PSA
Indiana and Miami's 1-2, 1-8, 1-2.
And PSA hip hop is where you hear that NBA talk, where you hear the most controversial discussion on Tupac on internet. You will never hear it on any other station. Just three went where nobody will ever go. Just to give you an example, one of these new rappers said something negative about Pac, and he got such a backlash. Was it Xanax, Lil Xan or somebody? He said Pac's music that good or something. The backlash he got was fast and furious. Well, if you want to hear something way more controversial than that, please subscribe to PSA Hip Hop and listen to me discussion on Tupac Shakur.
Hold on, sidebar. Are you concerned about the Golden State Warriors, my dude, going into the second round?
Yes, I am. Absolutely. I have to be concerned. Yes, I am concerned. Yes, I am concerned. I'll be a fool to not
I don't
be
know,
concerned.
Son. I will pick Golden State right now because of experience and they're the champs, but I'm not going to sleep on them niggas at all, though, man. You put it like this, I'm going to pick Golden State, but it's not going to shock me if New Orleans get upset, man, because that would be an upset.
If Steph Curry doesn't play, will it be an upset?
No. Yeah, it will be. Because you told me Durant's over LeBron, so you should, you know.
But we might be in the AD era right now. The beginning of the official
AD
era.
Yeah, I believe we are.
And if we're in that era, if we're in that era and now it starts, like remember when Jordan era started when he beat Detroit? Like it was
that shit started game one. That shit started game one against Portland, my nigga. Even though he's here before that, but it's really starting now. Like, it's right in our face. Because this is a different season. This is big boy basketball now.
Right. So,
and they just swept the Portland Trailblazers. Like,
it's shocking. Shocking. I am still
and I would take Anthony Davis right now over KD.
Shocking.
I would take Anthony Davis over KD right now.
And I will not.
Franchise.
And I will not argue with you. Like, there's no way I can argue with you. He's dominant. He's a dominant big man. Every aspect of the game. You know, it'll be great. You know, potentially you will have an Embiid versus Anthony Davis battle. That's
oh man, that'd be great.
Potential.
That's what we here for that. We here for that. Yo, I wouldn't be mad at the Philly New Orleans finals though.
I would not be mad either because you get to see the future of the NBA.
That would be awesome.
You see the future of the NBA now.
A lot of niggas probably don't want to hear that though, but I ain't got no beef with that, fam.
I don't think – here's the thing. Philly going to the NBA Finals will not upset anybody. It won't upset the NBA. It's the market.
Not me.
I mean, Villanova just
won. I love
Joel
Embiid and Ben Simmons.
Eagle just won. Philly being in the Finals will not – no one will be upset about that in the NBA front offices. New Orleans, they won a Super Bowl. I mean, so New Orleans getting there, there's a market for that. So, and they have AD. So – the NBA will know how to market that if that ever happens. There's a way to market that. Personally, I don't think it's going to happen because KD is different. He's cut from a different cloth.
He's not the best player in the NBA, though, but he is. He's top three. I'm not like you, though, because I'm proud of Donovan Mitchell, though, man. That boy balling.
Donovan Mitchell is outplaying three Hall of Famers. He has been the best player over three games in this series. I'm watching with my own eyes. And as much as I love
that George Paul had one good game and you niggas went crazy. Once he lost the athleticism, man, all he got is that little shimmy shit he does and pull up J and shoot threes. That's his game.
Well, I am.
Damn,
very,
I just watched Victor Oladipo just block LeBron. Jesus Christ. Oof.
PSA Hip Hop, the home of hip hop talk, where hip hop talk lives. The reason why we say that, you heard what we, you're gonna hear our segment on Kanye West tomorrow. Everybody's gonna have their opportunities to talk about Kanye West. Let's see how they talk about it. Let's see how Lennard talks about it after he talked about it. Let's see how Ebro talked about it. Let's see how Ebro talked about it after he said, "I just got off the phone with Kanye and he wants to have a dialogue."
Once you hear that. Once you hear he got on the phone with Kanye, you already know what time it is. Well, then again, is it fair, though? Is it fair, though? Because if you talk to him, maybe you get a different understanding of what he's saying, though.
But see, here's the thing. What he said is, Kanye just wants to reach out and have dialogue with the other side. That don't fly, man.
Well, kissing their ass, that's not going to fly. Kissing their ass.
That's what
Lennard
was trying to do with Tommy Loren. You do realize that. Lennard was trying to do that with that Tommy Loren chick. The only reason why they don't have, like, a podcast together is because there was such a backlash from black
people. Yeah, the backlash was strong. Yep. Strong was catching it.
And Kanye did exactly the same thing with the black version of that white woman. So, come on. I can't wait hip-hop media tomorrow, what they got to say. Because all y'all was doing, all you did was retweet everything Kanye West said until you started, wait a minute, he's talking a little crazy. Because when he started tweeting all week, you were just retweeting everything he said. Everything he said. Why you not retweeting him talking about Candace Owens? I see you not retweeting that. Why you not retweeting him saying we got a victim mentality? Elliot Wilson, hip hop media, why you not retweeting that? You see what happened? Come on, man. Hip hop media suck.
It's trash. And we do have something on the channel called Is Hip Hop Media Wax. So go check that out also, man. So y'all already know what it is, man. We definitely play off talk this week. Keep an eye on topics that we could talk about. You know what I'm saying? Subscribe to the channel. It's your boy 3 and Watson, man. You already know what it is, man. PSA Hip Hop. We out.